Are you ready to take your intermittent fasting lifestyle to the next level? There's nothing better than community to help with that. In the Delay, Don't Deny community, we all embrace the clean fast, and there's just the right support for you as you live your intermittent fasting lifestyle. You can connect directly with me in the Ask Jen group, and I'll answer all of your questions personally. If you're new to intermittent fasting or recommitting to the intermittent fasting lifestyle, join the 28-Day Fast Start group. After your fast start, join us for support in the first year group. Need tips for long-term maintenance? We have a place for that. There are many more useful spaces beyond these, and you can interact in as many as you like. Visit jenstevens.com/community to join us. An annual membership costs just over $1 a week when you do the math. If you aren't ready to fully commit for a year, join for a month, and you can cancel at any time. If you know you'll want to stay forever, we also have a lifetime membership option available. IF is free. You don't need to join our community to fast. But if you're looking for support from a community of like-minded intermittent fasters, we're here for you at jenstevens.com/community. That's jenstevens.com/community. If you've been listening to my podcast for a while, you know what a fan I am of Dr. Tim Spector and the work he's doing with Zoe. I was first introduced to his work in 2015, and I've been following his research ever since. What I love most about the Zoe Science and Nutrition podcast is that they have weekly interviews with world-leading experts who explain how their latest research can benefit your health. Recently, I was thrilled to finally meet him face-to-face as we recorded an episode for the Zoe Science and Nutrition podcast, and this episode aired on April 11th. We had a chance to talk about the world's biggest intermittent fasting study, and I had the opportunity to explain the clean fast to Jonathan, which may explain why he didn't enjoy his prior experiences with fasting. Search for Zoe Science and Nutrition on your podcast player or on YouTube to hear the latest episode, and don't forget to look for the April 11th episode to hear me, Tim, and Jonathan talk about the world's biggest intermittent fasting study. Welcome to Intermittent Fasting Stories. I'm your host, Jen Stevens, author of the New York Times bestseller, Fast, Feast, Repeat, as well as the book that started it all, Delay, Don't Deny. I lost over 80 pounds thanks to intermittent fasting after learning how to delay my eating rather than denying myself the delicious foods I want to eat. Now, who's ready to hear an inspirational intermittent fasting story? That's why we're here. So let's get excited to talk to today's guest. Hi, everybody, and welcome to episode 401 of Intermittent Fasting Stories. Today, I'm here with Troy Peterson. Troy lives in Madison, Wisconsin, where he is a professional truck driver and also a musician. Welcome, Troy.
Thank you. It is a huge honor to be here. I can't believe it.
Well, I'm so glad to have you. And you see, I pulled that in about them being a musician. I think that's so important.
Yeah, thank you.
Art is an important part of our lives, however that might look. You know, I like to start by asking, what brought you to intermittent fasting, and when was that?
Yeah, I'm going to just start at the start and try and come
Troy
to the present.
Was born.
Yeah, I was born in 1977, and
awesome.
I'm the last of four kids born to a very Catholic family. My parents owned a tavern in central Wisconsin. So that's a thing. Central Wisconsin or Wisconsin tavern culture is a big thing. So, you know, cheeseburgers off the grill and French fries out of the fryer and the endless bottomless soda off the gun. And
so you spent a lot of your childhood at the tavern?
Yeah, we could just, you know, have candy out of the racks and chips. And my mom did a good job of cooking healthy food for supper. There's just a lot of sugar in my life. There's no restrictions on the sugar intake in my life. And I was very aware as a kid, as a chubby kid. And I knew I had problems with moderation in anything good. I wanted it all, and I had a problem with stopping. So the word obsession is probably going to come up over and over here.
I get it. Because when you're a kid, especially, and you're like thinking about those treats and you just can't stop thinking about them and you want to get them, and were you like sneaking to get them or any of that?
Sure. Yeah. And I could see the way other kids were with things and the way I was. And I could not get enough with anything, with good things too, but bad things, especially. Obsession quickly turned to unhealthy obsession. And in high school, I'm drinking, I'm smoking, I'm doing everything else you can imagine. And in the 12-step world, I think the first thing is being able to admit that you're powerless. And some people have a big problem with that. I never had a problem. I knew that I was that guy. I was had the alcoholic tendencies, the obsessive tendencies. I was quick to admit it.
Now, did you actually go through a 12-step program?
Or yeah,
you
just had I that? Did.
No, okay.
Yeah, I sure did. And, you know, I know this isn't the AA podcast.
No, but I want to hear all that, too, because I think a lot of us, I mean, you've heard me talk about my struggles with alcohol. I would never call myself an alcoholic, but I would overconsume because of the inhibition. When you have one glass of wine, then you're feeling great. Then you have the second glass of wine. Then you're like, I need a third. And then for me, three was too many. I didn't just keep going, but it was,
yeah,
I get it. So I think it's an important part.
I definitely wanted to mention this in my story because I've listened to almost all of your podcasts and I'm almost caught up. And I know a few people have mentioned alcoholism or substance abuse, and that's what resonates with me as a listener. So anybody listening to this that relates, well, I'm your guy. That's a big part of my story. Yeah.
I've never talked about this publicly, but one of my sons is struggling with an addiction issue. And the only reason I'm mentioning it publicly now is because he has a website. He's an artist. He's a painter now. And he has it on his website in the about section. So I never wanted to tell his story. But as a mom of someone with addiction struggles, you know, my heart goes out to young Troy. Right.
Oh, thank you.
And I'm like tearing up. I don't want to tell someone else's story, but my son is now telling people. So I feel like I can too, but I understand.
Yeah. It's heavy stuff.
It is heavy stuff. And you can be in the middle of it and know you don't want to live that way anymore, but stopping it, not always easy. The powerless part that
it can seem absolutely impossible. You know, I'd often wonder if a person can change, if that's even something that I could even consider attempting, if a person can really change. And you can.
You can.
Yeah. So just a couple of decades of hard living. I was functional. I always paid my bills. I always kept my job. I never ended up in jail, thank God, somehow. But I was living hard for sure. Daily hard living.
And was some of that like the rock band culture kind of a thing? Because I know that's how my son got interested. He had a rock band and he had a band. And
all my heroes were
drug
addicts and alcoholics. And
it's part of the club culture as well.
Yeah. Again, unhealthy obsession. I was obsessed with these things and just darkness. You know, I was just living in darkness and consumed by it.
And would you say it's also like a brain that seeks stimulation?
Yes. You know, one thing I always realized is I never, any nuances, I wasn't receptive to, you know, if I drink a couple Coca-Colas and other people would say, ooh, it gets me kind of wired or whatever. I didn't feel, I was like, I don't, because it wasn't an overwhelming thing. I was only receptive to like drinking 12 beers. I'm like, oh, I definitely feel something, you know, like big things. That's what I looked for, was like overwhelming feelings, like big, you know. Drugs and alcohol work. They do give you the result that you're...
That big stimulation that your brain was looking for. And then your brain seeks it.
Yeah. A cup of coffee or something. I was like, that doesn't really do anything. Now I am fully receptive to what a cup of coffee does, or these kind of more nuanced things. I'm tuned into that now. So we'll jump forward. I'm 34 years old. I finally hit a bottom and I put myself into a inpatient rehab for a couple of weeks, came out, and it worked for me.
Now, did your parents know you were struggling with all that?
After I came out of rehab, I talked to my parents and they were kind of, I was surprised. They were kind of like surprised. It's like they didn't know. I was like, how could you not know that?
Right.
I was such a mess. But I guess I was kind of secretive about it. And there's some of that. There's definitely some of that in my family. I'm not sure if this is a thing that's in our DNA or if it's, I don't know.
I do think different brains respond to different stimulations in a different kind of way. Certain substances are addictive, like alcohol. If you drink enough of it, eventually your brain starts seeking it. And anyone can become physically addicted to alcohol if you drink enough of it. But I do think some brains get a different kind of stimulation. Like some people, it's sugar.
Yeah.
That lights up their brain in a certain kind of way. So I do think there's a genetic component to it.
Yeah. So there's definitely some of that in my family kind of peppered throughout.
Mine too. So you went to rehab and it just one time and you came out and it did it.
Yeah. And I'm finding more and more, I didn't realize it at the time, but I see now after some years, when I make a decision to change, it seems like I can do it. It's like when I make that decision, then it's on. I'm going to try and do it for sure.
You know, I get that. Yeah.
So now this happened at 34. Now the next like 10 years, it was such a big change for me. Such a huge thing that I conquered that I kind of rested on those laurels for about 10 years. I'd see an old friend. They say, what are you up to? And I'd say, well, I got sober. And at first, that's great. But then 5 years down the line, what are you up to now? Well, I don't know. Did you hear I got sober? Like, yeah, we know you're sober. That's good. So, you know, after 8 or 9 years, it's like, well, okay, I guess I can continue to improve myself in other ways. It doesn't just stop there.
Well, it was your identity, right? You know, reading Atomic Habits, listening to James Clear. It was your identity. Your identity was, I am sober.
Yeah. So again, I was always a chubby kid and now I'm a chubby adult. You know, in sobriety, I'm sure you've heard a lot, like any other vices you have, it's like, lean into those vices. Go ahead. Because we're taking care of this thing.
Eat the sugar.
If you have a problem with Yeah. I was doing that. At this point, I'm up to like 260 pounds, I think is the biggest I got. I'm like 5'9", I think. So I started what I think of as a summer diets. You know, I'd want to lose a few pounds going into summer. So this is the first time in my life I've tried diets. I'm like, let's see how this goes. This is a few years ago. I guess it's like around 2018-ish.
Let me guess. Did you start with keto? Which that was really popular.
No, okay. None of that stuff. I just did the MyFitnessPal app.
Okay.
And it's tedious, but I found right away it worked. I could lose 20 or 30 pounds. I'm like, okay, well, you know, diets. Okay. You can. This is something that I can do this if I put my mind to it. I'd lose the weight going into summer, 20, 30 pounds, put it back on in the winter, do it again the next year, again the next year, again the next year. Pretty soon I'm starting to see every year it's getting a little harder.
Yeah.
And by like 2021, I could not lose a pound. Not a pound. I'm weighing myself every day. I'm doing the work. I'm doing what I've done before. And I can't make it move. And it's just this loss of control. It's overwhelming. And I'm tired. I feel bloated, always tired, you know, and I'm just looking for a way out, a little bit of control. I know there's these paradigms of, you know, you get in your 30s or your 40s and you're going to get fat, and you're tired and the kids run you ragged and you have no more energy. And I don't want that. I'm trying to find a way around these paradigms.
Right,
I don't
like
want,
the dad bod. You're I'm just going to have the dad bod.
Right? Yeah. I don't want to do this stuff that's just supposed to be a given. You know, this just happens. You're going to get fat and tired. And so at this point, I'm living in Madison, Wisconsin. I'm married. I've got a couple girls. We bought a house. I'm a truck driver now for a number of years. And we're living in a pretty cool time with podcasts and audiobooks. When I started driving trucks, I was listening to the radio, and that gets old quickly. Now I've got my phone is loaded up with podcasts and audiobooks, and when I leave the house. So you can really learn a lot on your own just with the right podcast or some audiobooks. And I don't remember what the book was specifically, but I'm usually listening to fiction. And I put a book like file under, it was like an Atomic Habits or a, you know, Better Living, Get Healthy, something like this. I'm like, I don't know if this is for me, but I'll give it a try. And it was really good. I was like, I can see listening to stuff like this, try and improve a little bit. So obsession. I'm like, I'm listening to this stuff.
I'm all in.
Yes. I'm going to only listen to like better living, better diet, building better habits. And it's going to change my life. Some of the books are, of course, aren't going to be great. Some are going to be, but things pop up. If you listen to 10 of these books, there'll be things that cross over. And if you hear the same things repeatedly, it's like, well, that's something I should try.
That's true. That as a teacher, I will say that repetition, 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 that's how you learn. Yep. And especially if you hear it from multiple sources.
Yeah, that's it. So Eat Fat, Get Thin was one of the first ones. I jumped on that. That book, I again lost like 20 or 30 pounds, was working and stopped again. I'm kind of seeing this repeating. I can find ways to drop 20 or 30 pounds, but it eventually stops and just flatlines. I'm on medications for depression and acid reflux. And I started looking at that. I'm like, I want to get off this stuff. And I'm thinking, why am I on these medications? Let's just think about it. And it's like, well, the things I've been eating my whole life is fast food, beer, cigarettes, whiskey, sugar, candy. I need to change my diet. I started doing this and I weaned off my meds. I'm starting to feel better and I'm starting to see I'm heading somewhere. It's a couple of years ago now. I'm starting to see I'm moving towards something and I don't know exactly what, but I'm coming into something. I just got to find it. You know, I discover Wim Hof breathing and
he's such an interesting guy.
Taking cold showers every morning and I feel like I'm changing. You know, again, I'm on track for something and it's coming and I don't know what yet. But I'm heading somewhere. I'm paying attention to these repeating themes in these audiobooks I'm listening to. Eventually, again, I don't remember exactly which book this was, but a man was talking about, he's just dropping here's some basic rules to get the results you want. And he's saying, if you want to do this, try this. If you need to do this, do this. And he says, if you want to lose weight, and I perk up, I'm listening, and he says, you want to lose weight? When you're done eating supper at the end of the day, you're done for the day. You stop eating. When you wake up in the morning, kind of put off breakfast or skip breakfast altogether. And then when you start eating, you know, you start eating, have your day. Again, when supper time comes around, you're done with supper, stop. You're done with the snacks in between. You're done, you know, getting up in the middle of the night. And that kind of resonates with me. I'm like, that makes total sense. And I can see doing that. Just no more snacks all kind of through after supper, all through the night. So I start doing this and I can feel right away. It feels good. And I kind of feel proud of myself, like I'm doing something right and I'm doing something good. I don't think that guy ever said the words intermittent fasting.
But I wondered, yeah.
Starting with that, I'm kind of tuned into this idea of a break in between the end of eating for the day and the start of the next day. And now I'm starting to hear intermittent fasting come up. And I will say, given the choice between doing something like joining the gym or running or an exercise regimen or cutting something out, I'm going to cut something out. That's what I'm going to go for. I don't really want to go to the gym.
I get it.
But if you say, stop doing this thing, I'll say, okay, I'll try stop doing that thing and see what happens. I'll quit something. I can do that.
We all face stress in our daily lives. What if the answer to a better stress response is in one key nutrient? I'm talking about magnesium, and specifically Magnesium Breakthrough by Bioptimizers. This one-of-a-kind product is designed to reverse low levels of magnesium, which could have a positive effect on our stress response. But don't take my word for it. Here's a quote from a 2020 issue of the scientific journal Nutrients. Results suggest that stress could increase magnesium loss, causing a deficiency. And in turn, magnesium deficiency could enhance the body's susceptibility to stress, resulting in a magnesium and stress vicious circle. I only recommend Magnesium Breakthrough by Bioptimizers. It's the only organic full-spectrum magnesium supplement that includes 7 unique forms of magnesium for stress resilience and better sleep. Simply go to bioptimizers.com/ifstories, promo code ifstories10 to get your Magnesium Breakthrough and find out this month's gift with purchase. That's bioptimizers.com/ifstories, promo code ifstories10. Green Chef is the number one meal kit for clean eating, delivering pre-portioned and prepped quality whole foods with limited processed ingredients. Green Chef sends organic, fresh produce, responsibly sourced proteins, and chef-designed recipes in every box for satisfying, nourishing, and convenient meals that fit in beautifully to my cleanish lifestyle, and the food is totally window-worthy. Tonight, we're having barbecue sweet potato tacos with cabbage and carrot slaw, black beans, corn, and cheesy tortillas, and they come with Green Chef's chimichurri sauce. so good. Go to greenchef.com/ifstories50 and use the promo code ifstories50 to get 50% off plus 20% off your next 2 months. That's greenchef.com/ifstories50. And don't forget to use the promo code ifstories50 to get 50% off plus 20% off your next 2 months. Yeah, that's the thing about fasting. I almost, when I wrote Delayed on Deny and I was trying to figure out a name for it, I almost called it like the lazy diet because, I mean, of course, we know intermittent fasting is not a diet. I'm glad I didn't name it the lazy diet, but it's just, you just don't do something. You just don't eat for this period of time. It's easy.
So eventually I stumbled across, I think maybe Graham. Is it Connor?
Okay, Graham Curry from Australia.
I think he came first and then you soon after your podcast. And I dive in.
Yeah, I love Graham. His podcast, by the way, is called The Fasting Highway. And he's Australian and he's been on my podcast twice. And I've been on his and he has a great story of weight loss after morbid obesity and keeping it off through intermittent fasting. And it's become his life's mission to spread the word of intermittent fasting around the world. And so he and I are very aligned and I love him.
So I quickly ordered your book. My wife is certainly used to me going on some weird, trying strange things. So I tell her I'm going to do this thing where I don't eat. Da, 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 da. And she's like, okay, weirdo.
Whatever. All right, good luck.
I'm the cook and I'm the shopping guy in our family. But I'm like, just so you know, I'm going to be eating on a weird schedule or whatever, but I'll continue buying the food and cooking the food for everybody and yada, yada. I need to say the first week of fasting for me was pretty difficult. I felt like when I've heard about people having withdrawals from like heroin withdrawals, I've never been through that, but from what I've heard, it's like, that's kind of how I felt. Of course, not as
pronounced.
Super bad. Yeah, but I had a headache for a few days and I just felt kind of ill, but I was committed to doing this. And I kind of kept it to myself because my wife is already thinking like this weird thing you're doing. And if I would have said like,
don't tell her you feel bad.
Yeah, I feel like I got the flu and I feel nauseous and a headache and da da da. But I kind of knew that I was, I think in retrospect, is probably like a sugar withdrawal.
Yes. Your brain is used to having that constant flow of fuel from the glucose of what's coming in, even if it's not sugary foods you're eating and that your body, you know, converts it, whatever, you got the glucose. Yeah.
And at the time, I was definitely in the middle of trying to cut out sugar, but replacing it with whatever else, you know, so I'm
right.
Dabbling in all the different sweeteners and stuff. So there was that. But looking back, I look at it now as like, it was like going through a doorway for me. And I think I kind of knew, it's like, I'm going to have to suffer a little bit to come into this new lifestyle I really want to do.
Yeah, the adjustment period is the hardest part. And everybody needs to really appreciate that it's not going to be like, oh, this is easy every single day as your body is adapting. Because it's got to learn how to do something new.
I think that was like a 3-day thing, where it's pretty rough. Started with maybe like an 8-hour window or something. And quickly, again, obsession. Quickly dove in, I'm going to say too far. And part of my story is going to be kind of a how not to do this.
Well, I love that. You know, we learn the best from mistakes ourselves.
Yeah. So right now, as we're talking, I'm at about a year of fasting. My first month, I'm going to say, was reasonable. But by February of 2023, I tightened it up to like a 1-hour window and a morning window before the sun comes up.
Wow.
I get up at like 2 a.m. and I'm working at like 3 a.m. So by like 5, it's kind of like a lunch break for me, 5 a.m. My cycle of, so right around when the sun's coming up, I'd pull over at the same rest stop, eat everything in my lunchbox. And that started like 40 minutes. And then as the days pass, it's like 30 minutes.
Okay.
20 minutes. And for months, I'm living on like a 20-minute window. Weekends.
That is what not to do, everybody.
Yes. weekends, I would open up to like a 5-hour window, Saturday and Sunday. But through the week, 20 minutes a day.
Wow.
Around that. And I am losing the weight.
That's, I bet you are.
Yeah. For 4 or 5 months. And I'm plugging into my phone every day. And I, you know, it's like a 45-degree angle down. And then I start to see it level off and flatten out. And I'm going, okay, I'm eating so little and it's starting to flatten out like I'm so used to. So there's no, and I've listened to enough of your podcasts at this point to know better. And I know I got to just turn around and we got to kind of recalibrate. So that's what I did. I opened things up a bit more and I kind of tried different things like with the alternate day stuff. And I just don't think that's for me.
Especially with your schedule, that might sound a little hard.
Yep.
Making it fit. Because now it makes more sense why you're eating at that time. But yeah.
Yeah. But right now I'm doing like a, well, I switched from the morning to supper time, which I'm happy about.
Okay.
So now we're eating with the family and that's good. So I'll come home and I'll open it up for 2-3 hours every day during the week. And on the weekends, 4, 5, 6 hours.
I think that's a good logical mix.
Yeah.
So for anybody who's wondering, you know, maybe this is the first time you've ever listened to this podcast and you don't know, intermittent fasting is protective of metabolism to some degree, right? When compared to a low calorie diet where you're eating all the day, it has to do with insulin and tapping into your fat stores and all of that. However, that being said, if you have a really, really short, tight window day after day after day, eventually your body is going to adapt to that, like Troy, like you experienced.
Yeah.
Because your body wants you to survive and your body's like, okay, we got 20 minutes of food coming in. We need to slow our metabolism down because we want to survive. That's just your body protecting you. So shorter is not always better is the moral of the story.
Yep. You know, I knew the scale was going to go up. We're going to open up the windows and no matter what, it's going to go up a little bit. And that's so hard. But I'm like, no, I know in the long run, this is what we've got to do. And it's going to be good. It's healthy. It's right. And it didn't go up that much. And it's leveled out. I'm at a really good place right now.
That's good.
I came up probably 15 pounds from the lowest I got with that kind of crazy, super tight window. But I feel in every aspect like I am where I should be with my weight and my size. And
it feels like something you could keep doing.
Yeah. I went down from like the biggest I was wearing was 40-inch waist jeans. Got down to 32s. That's about what I wear now. 32s. And my weight will change even like 15 pounds, but I've never changed out of these size 32 pants, which another thing I got from you is pay more attention to that than the number on the scale. It's funny how that works.
Probably also, think about this. When you were eating so very little, you have less food in your system. And the food has weight. And also, when we have more food in our system, we retain fluid to process that food. And so a certain amount of swing of that weight is going to be the food and fluid in your system because you're just eating more food versus when you were at that lowest of all lows because you were really not eating very much.
Yeah. And it's funny, I'd get used to this crazy little tight window. And then if I opened up to, say, a 3-hour window, me being used to that little, I'm thinking, oh, I'm doing this huge 3-hour window. But if you zoom out and say, imagine someone that's not doing this, they still think you're crazy only eating 3 hours a day.
It's not true. Yeah.
It's not some crazy thing.
Long 3-hour window. Exactly. But in contrast, it felt big, but yeah.
You got to remember to be able to kind of zoom out and keep your feet based in the real world and remember.
I think that's super important. And this makes me think of someone that I was just talking to in the community yesterday. And she's a great community member. And she disclosed that she had been doing 23-1 for either 15 or 18 months and had lost weight and then plateaued and then started experimenting with ADF and her weight went up and she's super frustrated. And so just like you said, there's a part of the process where your weight is going to go up. But everybody listening, use this as a cautionary tale to not let yourself get caught up in that short, tight, long-term window.
Yeah. To be doing that and then see the plateau happening and even going up sometimes, it's almost like panic inducing. It's like, I had some control for a while here and now there's no control again. It's, how can I be eating so little and not losing or even gaining weight? And you've got to, there's only one thing to do, and it's to pull back and start with a new reasonable plan.
You got to let your body know that it's not starving to death. And see, that's the good thing about me, I guess, is that I never got to that point because I like to sometimes have a longer window. I never had the discipline to stick to a really short window every single day. Luckily, right?
Yeah.
I could see if I did, I might would have done it just because it felt, but I didn't have that amount of discipline, which turned out to be a blessing in disguise, if that makes sense. My freewheeling nature of having a longer window here and there actually helped. And then the fact that sometimes I eat just because I'll overeat because my appetite correction told me to stop, but it was so delicious, I kept going. I think that has helped my metabolism not crash, but I could see how if you were like, wow, I'm super disciplined. Here I am in my short window. This is amazing. Look how much weight I'm losing. That could backfire.
Yeah, absolutely. For me, this all worked. The intermittent fasting thing and everything that you've put out there, it's immediately worked so well. And anything you've ever said, the benefits about this, I'm experiencing it right away. Everything. And just the idea of getting full. I never experienced getting full my entire life. I would feel big and tired and like I'd feel bad, but I'd just keep putting food in. I never felt like there's never a clear stop sign, like you're done now. And now that is a huge part of how I feel now. Like when you talk about having like the refeed days, am I using the right word?
For the up day, yeah.
Yeah, an up day, yeah. And you'd say like a minimum 6 hour window on an up day. And I have a hard time. I'll watch the clock and I'll be like, I am full. And I'll look and I'm like, oh, you've only been 5 hours. We're not even up to 6 hours yet.
And if I could go back in time, I guess every author, once a book's out, is like, wow, I wish I'd have said that a little differently. I wish I had said 8 to 12 hours for up days. Because when people start too late in the day, it's really hard to get in 6 hours. But if you start earlier, it can be a lot easier. But you're right. It can be really challenging to get that in. So I wish I'd had a longer up day in there instead of 6 being the minimum. I wish I'd have said 8. Just because of over the years watching people apply the advice. Because in the real research on ADF, they did not have a window on up days. They just ate, you know, quote, normally. So, but I love that you finally have experienced what we call appetite correction, a term coined by Dr. Bert Hearing in his book, Appetite Correction. But you didn't have that as a kid.
No.
You said you were what? Insatiable. You never heard your body telling you you had had enough from childhood till now.
Yeah. I would just essentially kind of just get more and more miserable,
right?
But still just like stuffing it in, trying to reach something, some kind of satisfaction or something. And you just don't. So just being able to get full clearly, like being in tune with my body, you know, it's incredible. So this obsession I keep bringing up, I realized, you know, this is part of me. This is who I am. But instead of trying to rid myself of it, I realized I can just aim it differently. Turn it in from unhealthy obsessions to healthy obsessions. I've listened to all the available at this point, all the available build better habits, live better, yada, yada, yada books. And that's the healthy obsession. You know, you could say I'm obsessive about this stuff, but I'm aiming it in the direction of living better and getting better instead of obsessed with darkness, for lack of a better word.
No,
you know, just kind of being stuck in kind of misery, you know.
So let me ask you this. How about like what you're eating? I know you're listening to a lot of things. Has that changed as your healthy obsession has continued?
Yeah. Again, everything that I've heard from you and from others on the podcast here, I've quickly got really kind of snobby and picky about the foods. I specifically remember one day early on where, you know, I'd heard eat whatever you want. And at the time, I'd been, you know, dabbling and changing my eating habits and kind of trying to find a diet that worked for me leading up to this. So I was trying to cut out sugar and things like that. And in the first month of fasting, I kind of thought like, okay, eat whatever you want. It's been a while since I just like kind of went to town on some chips and some soda and some candy. I'm like, today, in my eating window, I'm going to have whatever I want. And I had like a candy bar and a couple sodas and some chips. And immediately is like, before an hour was up, I was like, I don't want this. What I thought I want, I don't want. It's not what I want.
That's the magic, right? If in my book I said, here are the things never eat. Never eat candy bars. Never eat potato chips. Never have a soda. Like every diet book you've ever read that tells you not to have those things. Every single person listening knows that candy bars, chips, and sodas are not weight loss or health promoting. We know this. We know it.
Yep.
But once we tell you not to have it, then suddenly you're like, but I really want to have it. But the power comes in when you realize you no longer want it.
Yeah, absolutely. My whole life, I felt bad, but I didn't realize I felt bad. That was just base for me. So for the first time in my life to feel good, now if I eat a candy bar, I feel like, oh, I don't feel good. Like, yeah. I mean, that makes me feel bad. And this is the first time in my life that I'm tuned into these things, like things that don't make you feel better or make you feel bad, where I never was conscious of any of this stuff.
But you're right. When feeling bad is the baseline, you don't realize it till you feel better. And then you go back to the bad and you're like, oh, that's how I used to feel all the time.
Yep. So if there's one thing that came out of this for me, and I've kind of realized this recently, is that for me, intermittent fasting has built a foundation for me. And I look back to when I tried to improve myself in the past, and I can see it in other people too. You're just kind of flailing, you know, you're trying to grab onto anything and you think, well, maybe tomorrow I'll do this, or tomorrow I'll stop this, or I'll go to the gym, and you don't have a foundation. So it's like you're trying to build a house on quicksand and you just can't begin anything because there's no solid base to begin a new life. So when I made a habit of this, of fasting, when it became my new normal, my new way, then changing my eating habits, fine-tuning things, changing what I'm eating, deciding on like which direction I want to go, which is now plant-based. I think around Thanksgiving, I stopped buying meat. And I am a meat guy. My whole life was just hot dogs and cheeseburgers and pork chops. And I found a list the other day. I'm the cook in the family. And I found a list that I'd made of just, you know, when I'm trying to find something to make for supper, I made a list of like 20 suppers I can make. If I don't want to think too hard about it, just pull up my list and like, oh, this is, you know, here's 20 things that I'm good at making. And every single one of them was just meat.
Yeah,
a meat thing, you know, meat-based supper. And it's ridiculous. I didn't see it at the time, but now I pull it out and see, I'm like, oh my God, like everything.
All right,
is just...
So I want to hear. So what made you make that shift? Now, are you 100% plant-based or are you just lean plant-based?
I sat the family down and I said, okay, I made a decision.
They're
oh
no.
I'm not buying meat anymore.
Okay.
If anybody's going to have a panic attack and needs a cheeseburger, I'll go make a cheeseburger. It's not hard-lined. Hard rule, but pretty much we're done with meat in our house and everybody's pretty fine with that. Dr. Will, Dr. B.
Yeah,
yes.
I love him.
That was a huge one for me. So
Fiber Fueled is his book.
Yep, yeah. Yep. That was probably 4 or 5 months ago I came across him. So plant-based and the idea of his whole thing is diversity. As much of a diversity of plant-based foods as you can get in your body is key. And to me, that just sounds like there's no sacrifice there.
No, you know, like, you just keep adding them in.
So every day when I eat is just like a grand buffet of all the wild and wonderful foods that come from the earth. You know, it's like, what? There's no hard times there. There's no sacrifice there.
Now, are you still having dairy and egg?
Yes. Yep. I make my own kefir. People say
yum.
Kefir. But
kefir.
I'm telling you right,
right
now, it's kefir. That's right.
That's what I think.
I always get weird looks when I say kefir, but I looked it up. Google will tell you it's kefir. Fermented foods. I'm fermenting my own foods now. And
love it.
Yeah, it's incredible. And again, I feel the effects of the fermented foods. I feel when I'm doing the right thing.
Now, would you still eat meat if you were out somewhere?
Sure. Yeah. Like if we go and visit my mother, if we go to grandma's house, there's definitely going to be some like pork sandwiches or something. And it's like, oh, great. I haven't had this for months. So, okay.
Yeah.
That's
very much how I've ended up and gravitated. You know, I've ended up, I'm not going to say never meat at home, but more rarely. And, you know, my meal kits that I order are very heavy into the vegetable side of things.
Yep.
But I don't want to stop with the dairy and the eggs. I just, it's been there, done that. Love the dairy, yeah. Love the eggs.
Yeah. I'm not a huge dairy guy, but when
I see, that's what my brain lights up to.
When I learned about kefir, and I love kefir, and I was buying it from the store, and anybody that wants to get into this, it's a whole subject of its own. But what you buy at the store is barely, if it even is kefir, they have to, you know, there's lots of restrictions that lead up to just getting your product into a grocery store. So what they're selling as kefir is barely kefir, if it even is kefir, and making it on your own is incredibly easy and super healthy. And so Dr. B and gut health, the microbiome, this is where I am now. So last year at this point, I'm beginning fasting and I'm fully on board and that's the new thing. And now at this point of this year, gut health and the microbiome is where my head is at.
I love that. I love the wording you said, fasting is the foundation.
Yeah, that's the thing. With the foundation of fasting, then you can build, you add little things here and there. But you need something to stand on. You need, you know, just kind of grasping at straws and randomly trying all these oddball things and nothing sticks. That's where you'll just drive yourself crazy trying to get a foothold and getting healthier.
Well, I love it. And I think a focus on the gut microbiome is never a bad idea for anybody. And I love the way Dr. Will Bolshewitz, Dr. B, and also the team at Zoe, they have a very sensible approach. Adding more in, just like you said. What can you add in?
Yeah, now that's something that I guess I kind of skipped over was maybe a couple years ago, I started realizing I was having problems with foods. I was having problems with something. I didn't feel well, gassy and bloated. And I started cutting things out of what I was eating. I was kind of eating mostly the same things for the most part every day. So I started cutting things out to see what it was. And I go, it must be dairy. So I didn't bring my yogurt to work. I'm like, oh, that's not it. Maybe it's this and cut that out. I finally got down to my sandwich that I have every day. I'm like, oh, it can't be my sandwich. It's not my sandwich.
What was your sandwich?
I cut out my sandwich and it was my sandwich. It was the bread. No. It was the bread on my sandwich.
What kind of bread was it?
Whatever bread. Probably just white bread at the time. But I realized that I can't eat bread now. Okay. Well, at least I know. So we got that. And then it started to be other things. It's like, I guess starchy things like potatoes, or I guess that too has an effect. And now I'm starting to see like, okay, now we're just going to start cutting things out. And where does this end?
Right.
You know, so this can't be right. This isn't the solution to just keep chopping things out of my diet because I can't have it. And that's when I just happened upon Dr. B.
Yeah.
And what he was talking about. That resonated 100%.
Yeah, because he tells that exact story in Fiberfield about a patient of his who, is that what you were going to say?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Well, just the idea, like he's saying exactly what I'm thinking. It's like, this isn't the solution. Just like, you can't ever have this again. That's not the way. It's like, we're going to kind of restart, reset. I almost don't want to get into the microbiome because I'll start on something and I won't know when to stop. So anybody that's interested, you know, look up Dr. B and the microbiome. It's incredible and fascinating. But my microbiome there was disorder in there.
Yeah.
It was unbalanced. So it's not that I can't have bread. It's just that my microbiome wasn't accepting it right now. And I had to kind of reset and bring balance again to my gut and kind of slowly reintroduce the foods that I felt I was having a problem with.
A healthy gut can tolerate plant foods that we have been eating for thousands of years.
Yeah.
A healthy gut can. An unhealthy gut cannot.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/Wondery and use code Wondery for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/Wondery, code Wondery.
This episode is brought in part to you by Audible, your go-to destination for thrilling audio entertainment. Whether you're looking for a hair-raising experience to enjoy while you're on the move or eager to dive into sinister and shocking tales, Audible has an exclusive collection of thrillers from best-selling authors that will keep you on the edge of your seat. Like James Patterson's first audio-only thriller, The Coldest Case. Experience stories like never before, where every chilling detail is brought to life by captivating sound design. Plus, as an Audible member, choose one title a month to make yours forever. And now, new members can try Audible free for 30 days. Just visit audible.com/WonderyPod or text WonderyPod to 500-500. That's audible.com/WonderyPod or text WonderyPod to 500-500.
So currently, I feel like I have solved this problem that
love it.
I saw coming on. And I'm not a person that rips on doctors. I'm not that person that says doctors don't know anything and that they know. But I just realized now that doctors aren't nutritionists. And I was going to my doctor when I was on my medications, he'd have to go in every once in a while to get it checked out to be able to go back and get your refill. And I remember saying this a few years ago, and I said, you know, I'm a little concerned personally. I want to know your thoughts. Like, should I be taking like antacid medicine for the rest of my life? It just doesn't seem right. And she's like, oh yeah, that's normal. You know, lots of people do this. And like right at that point, I was like, I got to figure this out on my own, I guess.
It might be normal, but it's not optimal.
Yeah. Yeah. And on a personal level, I really like our family doctor. I think she's a great person. I like and respect her a lot, but it came to a point where like, I guess I got to figure this out on my own. I don't think she's an idiot. I don't think she doesn't know, or she's got ulterior motives or something. You know, she's doing her best. So everything I've done over the last couple of years, I've just done on my own. And I am just always looking for a voice of reason. So Jin, that's what you are to me.
Well, thank you.
You are in a world of noise and everyone full of opinions and everyone knows it all. I kept saying early on that I felt like I was on a path and is leading me somewhere. I picture like a funnel. And at some point I got into the top of the funnel and started spinning around and getting closer and closer to the center. The center being intermittent fasting lifestyle, listening to what you have to say, what Dr. B has to say. You and him, among a handful of other people, Rich Roll is a great podcast.
I think he's great.
Yeah. Yep. You are voices of reason. You're not trying to sell me anything. You're not trying to be, this is not ego-based, I can tell. You're not trying to be the one who's right. Or
well, I'm a school teacher, right? I just want to teach you something that's going to help you.
Yes, I feel like you guys are just trying to make the world a better place through being reasonable and sharing what you know.
Well, thank you, because I respect Dr. B and Rich Roll a lot. And both of them have gone down a path of figuring out what worked really well for their body, understanding why, and sharing it in a non-dogmatic and lectury way. And also without making everybody who's doing something different, like, is the enemy, right?
You know, I'm doing this plant-based thing, and I'm not going to say that's the way. That's the way everybody's got to be. This is what's working for me. And there isn't necessarily a right way. But again, with this foundation of intermittent fasting, it's allowed me to finally listen to my body, listen to what my body's trying to tell me. And now I can hear what it's asking for and I can respond appropriately.
Exactly. And my body is sometimes asking for more Parmesan cheese.
For whatever reason.
Well, adding back in the dairy and the egg and the meat here and there, just it gives me pleasure, right? Life is to be enjoyed. And like I said, that's what my brain lights up to. That dairy has those casomorphines that are like a mild opioid. And you know what? I don't care if that's me getting my hit. Life is supposed to be pleasurable.
Yeah, that's right. Yep.
Exactly. So I love that you have really learned to tune into your body and listen to what makes you feel good.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's what we all want. So tell me about some of your non-scale victories that you might not have mentioned yet.
I feel the big overwhelming thing is just, I mean, I'm coming up to 50 and I've never felt better in my life. And now that being said, I've lived horribly most of my life. Again, like my base level most of my life was just not being well. So I'm just experiencing being well for the first time in my life. And it's mind-blowing to think that I truly do feel physically, mentally, spiritually better in every way that I've ever felt in my life. I never would have thought approaching 50, I would say something like that. I started this kind of a oddball thing, but I started racing BMX. Do you know what BMX is?
Bikes?
Yeah. Most people would think like kid bikes, BMX bikes on a short track with jumps and stuff like this. This is stuff I was into when I was a kid. And I'm all about kind of fulfilling my childhood hopes and dreams at the age I'm at now. So we were all into BMX when we were kids, but we never had an organized track near us. So we have a track near us in Madison now, and I'd go out and take photos and watch like, oh, I want to do that, but I don't know. And finally, a couple of years ago, I went ahead and did it. And I'm doing well out there. The season's starts up in spring again. It'll be my third year. And that's a good measure in all ways of how I'm doing. You know, physically, of course, but just my mental attitude, how I'm feeling in my head, in my body, and the way I'm living currently when I go out there on a race day, it really shows me how I'm currently feeling, how I'm doing. Last year was is my second year racing. In my first year, I was doing it in the fasted state.
Yeah.
And I wasn't telling anybody because they'd think I was crazy. Right. You know, I'm lined up at the gate and I'm like, I'm at like 23 hours fasted, feeling incredible, doing good, winning races. That's wild.
I love it. Like, I just love that you're doing that because, you know, we're never too old to start doing something that we love. And you said before that you hated going to the gym and that wasn't you, but you love, like, you lit up when you started talking about that BMX racing.
Yes, absolutely. Being physical, we can be physical without going to the gym. That's another big thing I learned, you know, so whether you know it or not, we all have things that we like to do. And it doesn't have to be a huge thing, you know, just walking or just even just being outside. Even if it's just sitting around, you know.
That's very true. And people were fit before gyms were invented, right?
That's right.
Living their lives, going outside, doing things. Yeah.
Oh, we were talking about non-scale victories, I guess. I have this thing I kind of think of as it's like ghost pains.
Right.
Where, you know, when I spend the whole day in a truck, and every time I climb out of the truck to fuel up or when I get where I'm going, I'll climb out of the truck and I'll take like 10 steps where I'm like, ugh. But I realize quickly that it's like, it's a conditioned thing in my head that I think that's how I am, but I'm not really, I don't know if this makes sense. But my first 10 steps, I'll be like, ugh, sore and tired. And I'm limping kind of and like kind of groaning. And I'll quickly realize this happens every day. I'll quickly realize like, oh no, you're not that guy.
That's how you used to be.
Yeah. I'm not in pain. I'm not in pain. I don't have a limp. I'm not moany and groany.
That's so funny. It's a habit.
I'm conditioned to think that I'm supposed to be that guy that's like, oh, God, oh, I feel miserable and I'm tired. It still happens every day. Like my first 5 or 10 steps out of the truck, I'm like, oh, God, oh, yeah, no, I'm not.
I bet eventually that will stop. You're rewiring those neural pathways and eventually you'll just jump out of the truck and you'll no longer have that thought. Yeah. That's really funny.
There's a incredible list of little things, but in general, no aches and pains.
Love it.
No aches and pains, and I'm not tired anymore. And yeah, you know, I could list off a ton of little bitty things that this unending list of this, that, and the other thing. But for me, waking up in the morning, ready to go, living my life and not just constantly yawning and I mean, it permeates, this lifestyle permeates every aspect, spiritual, you know, like my headspace where I'm at. It's just, again, and again, and again, and again, the foundation of intermittent fasting allows you to not only, you know, physically get better, but your attitude and your perspective and how you feel about other people and who you want to be in this world, you know, fine tuning and adjusting. Becoming the person you want to be and the person that you really are in your heart.
Yeah. And it changes us in ways that we never expected that it would. And it feels like such a gift because, you know, you started for whatever reason to lose weight or whatever it was. We start for our reasons, but then it gives us so much more than we ever expected. Now, we are almost out of time. What would you tell someone just starting out with intermittent fasting, or what do you wish you knew when you first started?
Initially, early on, I wanted to preach on this to anybody that listened. I have a huge diatribe, and I quickly realized I sound like a crazy person. I'm not incredibly well-spoken. You know, I have a link on my phone and a picture of your book just saved in my photos, and I can just show people. I'm like, if you really want to know what I'm doing and the changes you see in me, this is it. If you really want to know, get this book, read the book, and then we can talk about it. And just trust in it. 100% just trust in it. no matter how it works in the first week or the first month or whatever, just trust in it. You'll get results that are incredible.
And it's going to change your life in ways that you never expected.
Yep.
Well, Troy, thank you so much for sharing your story today.
Thank you so much.
Do you have an intermittent fasting story to tell? Email me at jen@intermittentfastingstories.com and I'll add you to the lineup. That's GIN@intermittentfastingstories.com. The world wants to hear your story. That's it for today. Remember, I may have a doctorate, but I'm not a medical doctor. So don't use anything you hear on this podcast as a substitute for medical advice. Please always check with your doctor or healthcare provider if you have medical questions. I'll talk to you next week, Fasting Family, where we will hear another inspiring story. Have a great week and fast on. Intermittent Fasting Stories is edited, mixed, and mastered by Resonate Recordings. To learn more, visit them at resonaterecordings.com or email them at hello@resonaterecordings.com. Intermittent Fasting Stories listeners will receive a free offer if you mention that you heard it on the podcast.
Hey, you. It's Jason Bateman. Have you listened to Smartless? Smartless is the podcast that I host with my friends who are more like brothers. The super talented and funny Will Arnett and Sean Hayes is...
JJ, why are you whispering?
Well, there's a psst in the copy.
But people are listening, so it's like...
They are listening. Like, okay.
Yeah.
In each episode of Smartless, one of us reveals our mystery guest to the other two. What ensues is a genuinely improvised and authentic conversation. Our mystery guest Here we go.
We got a lot of big famous people from different walks of life. And if you're a Wondery fan, then you're going to just you come and listen to it. Yeah. We're on Wondery right now and you can listen to us. And no matter what you're doing, you're at the gym or you're in the car, just listen to the podcast.
Sean, tell them where they can find it.
Follow Smartless on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen to Smartless ad-free by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.
Bye.
Bye.
For more than two centuries, the White House has been the stage for some of the most dramatic scenes in American history. Inspired by the hit podcast American History Tellers, Wondery and William Morrow present the new book, The Hidden History of the White House. Each chapter will bring you inside the fierce power struggles, the world-altering decisions, and shocking scandals that have shaped our nation. You'll be there when the very foundations of the White House are laid in 1792, and you'll watch as the British burn it down in 1814. Then you'll hear the intimate conversations between FDR and Winston Churchill as they make plans to defeat Nazi forces in 1941. And you'll be in the Situation Room when President Barack Obama approves the raid to bring down the most infamous terrorist in American history. Pre-order The Hidden History of the White House now in hardcover or digital editions wherever you get your books.